These days, there are an infinite number of places to go where you can find poems and stories and songs, just about anything that you may be looking for. And they cover every topic that there is, and sometimes they carry your interest or resonate with you, or you may skim over them and miss the details of what may have been very important to someone else. In Romans 15:1, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. Hope. What is hope? One of the definitions is to desire with expectation. Where our hope lies is the question we must all look at. At work, our hope is that we will get that raise we've been longing for, or the recognition for a job well done. At the time we turn old enough to get our driver's license, there is the hope of a car of our own. And when we have children, we hope that they will grasp onto some of what we are trying to teach them and that it will give them a chance for a good life. And when we get older, we hope that we will not fall or break a hip or any other body part. And when we get our paycheck, we hope it will stretch far enough to cover our expenses and get us through to the next payday. During the Christmas season, there's hope. Hope that you will get the gifts that you asked for on your Christmas list. There was a young girl in her early teens who gave up on hope. If Christmas had skipped every other year, that would have been just fine with her. It was always miserable for her to have to open her gifts. She actually felt that she hated getting the gifts. It was not so much about the actual getting of the gift as having to hide her true feelings about the gift itself. Every year, one of the gifts would be two articles of clothing, a pair of pants and a shirt. This was in a day that was very much different from today, for the choices for clothing were not as abundant as what is available to us today, and there was not the range of sizes to choose from, and so for this young girl, if she did not fit into anything on one side of the store, her mother would walk over to the other and look on that side. Three Christmases in a row, this young girl would open her last Christmas package handed to her, and inside she would find a pair of men's corduroy pants and a shirt. It was humiliating. It hurt so badly to think that she could not fit into clothing cut and made for women. She knew that her mother was doing what she could with the resources she had, and so she would be thankful and go upstairs and cry. And when this young girl became old enough to work, she worked hard to earn the money it would take to shop other places and to find and buy clothes that she liked. And she tried very hard to discourage her mother from giving her any clothes at Christmas time. She became a very independent person, someone who would come to realize that if she wanted something, the only way she was going to get what she wanted was to get it herself. And soon this thinking affected other parts of her life, and she found that if you needed something done, you did it for yourself. And asking others for help or for anything was something that was very nearly impossible for her to do. And so it became how she learned to handle her emotions, how she came to hide the things that troubled her, how she came to suddenly feel that she was all she had and she could not rely on anyone else. They would always let her down. There was an aloofness about her. Even her family could only reach in so far, and then they would be stopped from coming too close or knowing too much, and life became full of secrets. How often does something so seemingly unnoticeable become so big in scope? And how do the events around us change us? How we hide the things that hurt us. Not always because we are afraid to face them, but because we become convinced that if we approach the subject that we will hurt someone else, perhaps someone that we love, and that love is the tiny thread that keeps us going. Many years passed, and she had grown up and moved away from home and had started a life on her own. She never addressed those feelings she had about Christmas and soon came to realize that birthdays made her feel the same way. Receiving gifts was very stressful for her, and she would rather not have to receive them or to give them. And in this way, she would not have to worry about what others would think and who were probably disappointed in the gifts that she gave. And so the years continued on. And there were changes in her life, but the need to guard her feelings stayed with her. And living away from home and not having any family nearby, the gifts she began to receive were usually gifts of money, and some of the pressure felt lifted. There came a gift one day, though, that she found that she could not turn away from. It was a gift that had been brought with a price that could not be compared with any other gift that anyone on the face of the earth had ever given. While sitting in church as a visitor one Sunday, she felt a gentle tugging, and it was drawing her to come to the altar, there to meet Jesus, to come before him, to ask his forgiveness, and to ask him into her life. She had heard these words preached from the pulpit many a time, but they had never touched her as they touched her today. She would answer that call and walk with him, but she still led a very guarded life. She would talk to Jesus about how she felt, although she never completely opened up to him either. It would be years later, while she was sitting watching a movie about the crucifixion of Jesus with tears streaming down her face, that she would come to understand the gift that she had been offered, that she had freely accepted, and that she would come into the understanding of what gift-giving was truly about. She would often pray and ask for forgiveness for all the wrongs that she had done, for all the bad choices she had made. But it was not until she started praying and asking forgiveness for each lashing that Jesus had borne with her name on it that she began to understand the gift that she had been offered and she had taken. And she began to understand the price that was paid for the gift. And she began to understand the love that was behind the gift. And eventually she would be able to understand that the gift that she had received was that of the gift giver himself, who had become the gift. There are many who come to the cross and find the gift of salvation at the foot of it. Their hearts are ready. They find the strength and the hope that they long for and seek. And there are many others who take the trip to the foot of the cross to accept the gift. And although the seeds are planted, there is still much work needed to be done to loosen the soil so that the seeds can grow. And when the gift of salvation is offered, it is the promise of hope. It is renewing of life. It is love that perhaps has never been experienced before. And it is exciting and exhilarating, at moments all-encompassing. And it is something we cannot experience with anyone else on earth. What takes us to the cross are all of the emotions that hold us in bondage and guilt and fear and anger, regret, disappointment, and hostility. It is what we find at the foot of the cross that changes our world and who we are. What we find there is love, encouragement, forgiveness, and life. We find that never again will we face anything that comes against us alone. And we find that if we but believe that Jesus is who he says that he is, if we walk in that faith, we can have hope. Hope. We can have the desire with expectation. It has been many, many years since last she has thought about Christmas growing up, and she now finds that each Christmas season there is something new about her Lord and Savior revealed to her, and she has strengthened her faith and walks and talks with the Lord daily. She's in love, and she feels love, the likes of which she had not known as a young girl or in any part of her life, for that matter. Christmas, it is the time of gift-giving. God gave to the world, to us, his creation, the gift of his only Son, who would die on the cross for us, who would rise on the third day after tearing down the gates of hell, and who would ascend into heaven to sit at the Father's right hand. And there he waits until the Father says, "It is time," and the groom will once again come to earth, this time to claim his bride. There is a gift awaiting you. You won't find it under a Christmas tree, but you will find it at the foot of the cross. Won't you consider stepping forward and reaching out your hands and saying, "Yes, Lord, I accept your gift, the gift of life, of love, of hope, the gift of salvation." And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.